Yesterday, we talked about the effective way of Bible study book, and we mentioned that each book, there are several theological topics. If we are able to study the theological topic in depth, then we are pretty much understand the whole book. Because you connect all the dots together, it becomes a line. You connect all the theological topic, and you will understand what the book is talking about. Now, we look into the practical example of Book of Romans. The Book of Romans, if you understand five theological topics, pretty much you understand the whole book. The first is sin. The second is justification. The third is sanctification. The fourth is predestination. The fifth is transformation. So if we understand the five theological topics, pretty much we know the whole book of Romans. In yesterday, we talked about what can separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God. The love of God manifests in the world, in history, with a very concrete way, which is Jesus Christ. And the love of Jesus Christ manifests the highest point is in crucifixion. The more we understand crucifixion, the more we will be attracted by Jesus Christ. The more we understand crucifixion, the more our life will be transformed by the love he manifests on the cross. Now we, at this section, we are going to study the book of Romans chapter 6 and 8. If you look into the teaching material. Number four, walk in a newness life. Of course, we can use different way to give a topic. And we also can give a title, sanctification and justification and sanctification. If we open the book of Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 11, it's talk about what? Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 11, talk about what? Baptism, yes. And justification accomplished in baptism. So our church view is different from other church. The other church, they quote yesterday Q&A, right? The other question, other Christian, they quote Romans chapter 10, verse 10. What's that? Romans chapter 10, verse 10. What's that? The most commonly used verse in the evangelical crusade. In Romans chapter 10, verse 10. If you believe in your heart, you confess in your mouth, you are saved. This is the most commonly proclaimed message. So they consider justification in the time you believe. I think that about a few years ago, Billy Graham, you know, Billy Graham is a very famous TV evangelist. He was doing the evangelical crusade in the Central Park in New York, and there was a live broadcast. And he really, even in the age of almost 80, he was very eloquent. And about 500,000 joined the evangelical crusade in the Central Park. And he mentioned that New York is just like an apple. Apple, very beautiful, right? It's not a Cupertino, that apple, right? A New York apple. But the apple has been what? Rotten. Rotten about what? About sin. So he started from sin. Oh, the city plagued by sin. And in about 40-50 minutes of the open crusade, the end, he just quotes this verse. If you believe in your heart, you confess in your mouth, then you are saved. How many people? A lot of people raise their hand. And in the end of the message, he say, okay, now you are saved, Christian. Just go back to join the church nearby where you live. So most of the denominations believe in that way. Justification is the time you believe. But our church view is different. The reason our sin can be washed away because of the blood of Jesus Christ, right? We believe in Jesus Christ, that's fine. Belief is a preparation, but the justification is in the time you in touch with the blood of Jesus Christ with faith. And what was that time? That time of water baptism. So in the time of water baptism, so often people witness the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not witnessed by everybody. If it is seen by everybody, means the blood of Jesus Christ appear in the material form. If it is in material form, everybody who have the good eyesight, you can see it. But some can see it, some cannot see it. What does that mean? It appear in the spiritual form. Just like heaven, right? Can you see heaven? You cannot see it, right? But some of the members, when they pray, got your special vision, they were able to see heaven. Have you ever seen hell? You never see it, right? But some of the members, when God opened your eye, they were able to see hell. Because that exists in the spiritual realm. The same thing. The blood of Jesus Christ appeared in a spiritual form to wash away our sin. So, in chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 11, it's talking about water baptism. Water baptism is to die and to bury and to be resurrected with Jesus Christ. That is water baptism. To die, to bury, and to resurrect with Jesus Christ. Now, first, water baptism, we bow down our head. Bow down our head at least two meanings. The first meaning is sinner. The sinner praying in the temple, right? And beat the chest. I am a sinner. I am not worthy. So always the one who commits sin, being caught, always bow down the head. We feel very shameful. So we go into the water, or we are sinner, or bow down the head. The second is Jesus give up his last breath. He bowed down the head. So we bow down our head in the water baptism. How about burial? Burial means we immerse our whole body into the blood of Jesus Christ. Just you bury the whole body in the tomb. How about resurrected? When we come out of the water, we resurrected with Jesus Christ. So we bow down, we perform the baptism with head bowed. And in other denomination, they perform the water baptism with what? Facing upwards. Why? Because they emphasize burial. But if you read from chapter 6, verse 1 to 11, the Bible always mentions baptism is baptized into what? The end of verse 3. Baptism is baptized into what? End of verse 3. Into his death. Baptized into his death. So you read the whole paragraph, mentioned so many times about death. So baptism is to die with Jesus Christ. And the time we come out of the water, we resurrect. Resurrect in a spiritual sense. We reconnect ourselves with God. So we have spiritual life, which is eternal life. So this is the water baptism. Besides the our baptism being performed according to the Bible. And these, there are three things. We are very sure our baptism has been blessed by God. What are the three things? The first thing, the baptism, just we mentioned, many people witness the blood of Jesus Christ. So far, I've been in touch with many Christians. Sometimes I read the magazine of other published by other denomination. I never heard a testimony that anybody witnessed the blood of Jesus Christ in the baptism. I don't know whether you have heard about anything about this. I only see a picture published by other denomination. They performed the baptism in the water tank. And the water tank turned out in the white color. So they take a picture. And then they explain, how come the water baptism is the one in the white color, in the red color? Because they painted the bottom of the water tank with the red color. Right? And after a few months, few years, many people step into the water tank to perform the baptism, and the paint just peel off and mingle together with the water. It become red color. That is the explanation how come the water is red. Now, other than that, none of the denomination had this kind of testimony except in TJC worldwide. The second is after the water baptism, right after the water baptism, they received the Holy Communion, Holy Spirit. I still remember vividly in 1995, we went to Kenya in a boulder to Uganda, near a town called Busia. We have about evangelical service there for 4 nights. In the last days, they say that about 30 people want to be baptized. Then where can we find so many cars? So later on, we hire a truck. A truck carry the timber. And we look at the truck, how come so many people? The picture has been put into one of the magazine, of one cover of the magazine of Living Water. And then when we after we performed the water baptism, it came out about 98 were baptized. And on the way to auto baptism, we see a river. Everybody get off, want to baptize in the river. And the local people say, you cannot baptize here because there's a crocodile. So everybody just, okay, get out of the car again. And we drive the car to the boulder, close to the boulder, there's a very huge river. The water stream, very strong. And probably all the crocodiles being flushed away. And the baptism, very powerful. As soon as you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, they raise up and they start to speak in tongues. The whole body is filled by the Holy Spirit. And two persons carry it on the shore, and they still kneel down, pray, and they are speaking in tongues for 10, 15 minutes. Oh, really? This is a very, very powerful experience. The second God's blessing. The third God's blessing is right after the baptism, a miracle happened. Now, really. I think some of you had heard, right? In one of the baptisms in Taiwan, one of the demonic want to be baptized. Right? You know, demonic, usually a very powerful person, right? Not because of person, but the Satan, right? Oh. So when the minister are ready to baptize the people, the demonic one already swim to the middle of the ocean. What are you going to do? Oh. And it's so powerful. Oh. Because the Holy Spirit gives the face of the minister. And that minister commanded that person in the name of Jesus to ask you to come back. And that demonic just swim backwards. And in the right spot, just in right spot in front of the minister. And when the minister baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, when come out of the water, and the Satan gone. Miracle happened. Really. But of course, there are some kind of experience in Liberia. One time we performed a water baptism. When we are enraged in the name of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden the people jump up and say, Satan. Hey, how come water baptism is Satan? And we realize the person was alcoholic, and he still have the smell of alcoholic. What happened to you? Baptism is forgive your sin to cast out the demon. How come in the time of baptism you say demon? Because the last night he say, I want to say farewell to alcohol. Oh, so the last night before the baptism, he get drunk. Oh, and God don't like it. Right? Because if you want to come to the water baptism, you have to repent. Repent means what? Cut off all your sinful lifestyle. Oh. But before the baptism, you go get drunk. That doesn't mean you are repentant, right? So we ask them to baptize next time. Oh. So there are so many different testimonies. The signal was cured after water baptism. So chapter 6 from verse 1 to verse 11 is talk about justification. Justification by faith. Receive the baptism is to die with Christ, bury with Christ, and resurrect with Christ. So Romans chapter 6 verse 1 to 11 is the first sentence of John chapter, the first condition of John chapter 3 verse 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Two prerequisites to go into the kingdom of God. First is to born with water. And that is Acts chapter 6 verse 1 to 11. To be born of water. And to be born of water only requires 2 minutes. It's totally of grace. You only believe and follow the teaching of the Bible, and the grace of God will come to us. Our sin can be justified, can be forgiven. And John chapter 3 verse 5, the second sentence is renewal of the Holy Spirit. The renewal of the Holy Spirit means sanctification. So chapter 6 of Romans to chapter 8 talk about two things. Justification and sanctification. Justification takes 2 minutes. And sanctification takes lifelong. Justification, you don't have to do anything. It's by the grace of God. But sanctification, you have to put effort into it. And justification is to forgive the sin you already committed. And sanctification is to root out the sinful nature so you will never sin again. So there's a difference. One is the sin you already committed. Another is the root cause of sin, sinful nature. We need to go through this sanctification. And justification in water baptism and sanctification in Holy Spirit. Renewal of the Holy Spirit. So start from Romans chapter 6, verse 12, to chapter 7 and to chapter 8. It's talk about sanctification by the Holy Spirit. Now we come back to Romans chapter 6. From 12, verse 12 onwards, tell us we have to be a slave. There are two kind of king will control us. From 12 to 14. What are two kind of kings? Either you become slave of this one or you become slave of another one. You have no middle ground to stand. What are the two kings? Look, verse 12 to verse 14. What are the two kings? 12 to 14. One is what? Sin. The other one is God. Right? After we receive the baptism, still two power can control us. One is sin. The second is God. Either we enslaved by God, become the slave of God, and our body become the instrument of righteousness, or we enslaved by sin, and our body become the instrument of unrighteous. Oh, there are two ways. You can make a choice, right? After making a choice, from today on, I am to become the slave of God. I want to use my body to become the instrument of righteousness. That's only determination. After you make the determination, then put effort into it. Oh, how to put effort into it? Pray. Oh. Usually, we have to do everything biblically, right? Oh. According to the Bible, how long should we pray? According to the Bible, how long should we pray? 15 minutes? 30 minutes? 1 hour? According to the Bible, how long should we pray? Huh? Yeah, you are correct. Oh. You can never find the answer. Bible says pray 15 minutes. 30 minutes, 1 hour, right? You can only find an example, Jesus prayed for all night. But it will be too much for you, right? Right. But Bible gives us a goal. What is the goal? Being filled by the Holy Spirit. Oh. So how long does it take for you to pray till you are filled by the Holy Spirit? How long? According to your experience. John, how long? There are so many Johns, so you don't know who I'm calling about. Right? Whatever John. Right? Hey, how long does it take? All depends, right? If we pray every day, it probably 30 minutes, you'll be filled by the Holy Spirit. If you pray only once a month, it probably it takes about 30 minutes. Right? 30, half an hour until you're filled by the Holy Spirit because you didn't pray for a long time. Right? So you set the goal. Oh, this afternoon I have time. I said, God, I'm going to pray until I'm filled by Holy Spirit, right? It takes a long time. Oh, so until we are filled by the Holy Spirit, then we start to feel the renewal of the Holy Spirit. We can get rid of the sinful nature, root out of the sinful nature, and we become the instrument of the righteousness. Oh. So not because we received the baptism, so naturally, we will not commit sin. No, water baptism is only wash away the sin we have committed before, but the sinful nature is still buried inside. As long as we have the physical body, we have the sinful nature. No, so how can we get rid of the sinful nature? That is sanctification. So if we give our body to the righteousness, eventually our life will be sanctified. So in the time of water baptism, our status have been justified. Status, justified, to become the Son of God. But in reality, our life still live an older lifestyle. So this older lifestyle should gradually, the content still in the older life, gradually has to be transformed so our life can enmatch of the justified status, the children of God. It's very similar to what? Most of you are born here, right? So you cannot feel it. But if you are immigrant from the other country to United States, after a few years, you have been what? Your status has been readjust to become the citizen of the United States, right? You hold the United States passport, you are the citizen of the United States. But are you really thinking like American way? Are you really live a life like an American way, right? Maybe you still at home, you still eat kimchi, right? That's Korean way or Chinese way, you still have chou tofu, something like that. Stinky tofu. So your parents in status just is Chinese, but in reality, in status American, but in reality is Chinese. Not until you live here for a long, 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 long time, right? You live in a place where you know or Korean or no Chinese, then naturally you will become thinking like American, you talk like American, then eat like American, then your reality match your status. That's only an example of what sanctification means. When you get out of the water, I'm the children of God, right? The status is very noble, but I have to continue to put a lot of effort. Eventually, in and out, I'm a Christian. In, Jesus is my King. My inner life has been renewed. The value system has been transformed. The sinful nature has been dead. Out, my tangible life is different from others. And that is sanctification. So chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slave of God, and you have your fruit to holiness. And the end, eternal life. So if we live a holiness, life of holiness, the end is eternal life. And 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. So after the baptism, if we live a very righteous life, life of holiness, then we will eternal life. But if we continue to live in sin, our life is not transformed, but the end is still death. Okay. And chapter 7 is talk about the war. There are two laws inside our body, and the two laws fighting with each other. What are the two laws? Chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwell. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Verse 19. For the good I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, I practice. So what does that mean? Because we have a conscience. So we know what is good, what we know what is bad. Sometimes because of teaching the Bible, we know what is good and what is bad. But even I determine, I make my mind to do what is good, but it end up I cannot do it. Even I determine not to do what is bad, but it end up I still do it. Why? Sinful nature inside. Can you give an example? Can you give an example? Plenty of example, right? Just like a bad temper, right? Some people get angry once a month. Some people get angry once a week. Some people get angry once a day. And some people get angry once every few hours. Which type you are? Which type you are? So getting angry can never achieve the righteousness of God. Right? It's not good. After getting angry, you lose the peace. Right after you get angry, right? You kneel down, you cannot pray. Your heart cannot come, you cannot pray, right? Right after getting angry, you feel that the relationship has been broken. It's no good. But whether you cannot get angry or not, you cannot control. That's one of the examples. The sinful nature controls us through anger. Right? There are many, 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 many examples, right? The second example, addiction to internet or TV, right? We know it helps you to kill time, but in the end, what did you get? You get nothing out of it. But it's still is when you sit in the living room, you have the power to push the button to start watch it. You have no power to push the button off. How come the TV control us? Right? There are many, many examples. Right? So, we are not our own master. There is a power control us. That power is the what? Sinful nature. Unless we can get rid of the sinful nature, otherwise we cannot become a new person, a new person. And so that is chapter 7 he's talking about. We cannot live a new life if we cannot get off the sinful nature. So it becomes hopeless. But what should we do? Verse chapter 8 is the answer. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 2 is very important. The law of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ set me free. Free from sin and death. So you pray until you are filled by the Holy Spirit. Once you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you are free from anger. You are free from hatred. Really? Holy Spirit is so powerful. So 2 Corinthians says, where there is Spirit of God, there is freedom. When the power of God fell upon us, it's not because, I should not anger, so I control myself. No. When you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you don't have to control yourself. You are naturally very peaceful. You will never get anger. I still remember there was a brother, his wife was baptized in 1960s. You probably know who I'm talking about. Before the baptism, the wife always said some demon bothered the wife. Then they always went to the Las Vegas every other week. Right? Then after the water baptism, the wife, Satan, gradually been cast out. And later on, the husband baptized. And we know in Las Vegas, we have some members in 1990s. So one of the ministers want to visit a member there, but nowhere to stay. And the brother volunteered, because I still have that kind of gold membership card. When you stay in a hotel, well, we have a deep discount, or sometimes you only pay 20% of the list price. Also, when the worker go together with the brother, and under the hotel is a casino. And when the brother come back, and he say, well, I feel after I believe Jesus, I really change. Why? Because before, I have to go there every other week to gamble. I know even I go there, I will lose money, but still I want to go. If I don't go there, I just feel, the life seems something not done yet. But after he baptized for about 1 or 2 years, he passing through the casino. He did not have any desire to do anything about it. He just wanted to pass that area as quickly as possible. He already lost the desire to gamble. Not because as a Christian, I should not gamble. I have to control myself. I'm very painful because I want to gamble. But the Bible says I cannot gamble. Not because that way. But because God already transformed your nature, so you don't need to gamble. So this kind of transformation is very powerful. It comes from Holy Spirit. So how can you know you are filled with the Holy Spirit? when you are filled by the Holy Spirit, it's so easy for you to control TV. It's so easy for you to control internet. It's so easy for you to control your smartphone. It's so easy to control your own lustful thought. It's so easy that you will lose the temper. And that is the evidence you are gradually being filled by the Holy Spirit. But if still struggling around, that means the power of God is not filled upon your heart yet. We still have to pray. So keeping the faith, be sanctified, that in the process, we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Once we reach there, you will feel very peaceful and very free. So chapter 6 to verse 8 talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. From chapter 5 to chapter 8, at least we can see the function of the Holy Spirit is very important. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to put to death of the sinful nature. And so we can be free from that. And the second function in chapter 5 of the Holy Spirit, chapter 5, verse 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out into our heart. So how can we be filled by the love of God so our life can be transformed? Yesterday, we mentioned three ways, right? The first way, we meditate how God crucified for us, being touched by the crucifixion, the love of Jesus Christ. The second way, we experience the grace of God every day. And that is what we always hear about in the time of testimony. The more grace we receive, the more we will be touched by the love of God. And the third way, very direct way, is when you pray, you are filled by the Holy Spirit, the love of God pour into our heart, so we are filled by the love of God. So if you look into Acts chapter 2, the apostolic church, they really been transformed, a church filled with love. Why? Because they all filled by the Holy Spirit. When they are filled by the Holy Spirit, they are filled by the love, so they have no selfishness. They can share everything in common. Communism tried to share everything together, right? But it failed. How come it failed? Because you cannot root out the selfishness. So the communism, even the goal is good, but you cannot achieve it. You cannot get rid of selfishness. But in the church, apostolic church, they were able to share everything because the love of God is not selfish. No. So once we are filled with the love of God, you will consider other people's well-being, not only we consider ourselves. So for example, when we line up for the lunch, usually the delicious dish will be gone very soon, right? Because people take a lot. But if we think about there are about 100 people having the lunch here, what should we do? We take a small portion of the food we eat. Until everybody have their portion, then we come up with a second serve. Right? We take a small portion of second serve, until everybody come, then we finish our portion, then we have our third serve. And this is so-called love. Because we want to reserve the enough portion for the people who lie behind. And that is love. And this kind of love comes from the love of Jesus Christ. So sometimes we are in Africa, a woman will walk for 1 hour and 2 hours to give us what? One egg. Only one egg. Why? The woman is so poor. She has only one egg. But she wants to try to show the love. So that egg is so precious. Why? Actually, we have money. One US dollar, you can buy 2,000 of eggs. But that one egg especially is so precious because it is the egg of love. And that comes from the love of Jesus Christ. And so chapter 5 talk about pour down the love of Jesus Christ. So when the whole church being filled by the love of Jesus Christ, you will see the church is just like a big family. So harmonious,
so warm, so caring, and you will enjoy it. Now, and the Holy Spirit, another one is talk about is the intersection of Holy Spirit. Chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also help us our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself make intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we receive Holy Spirit, you can't just say hallelujah, keep on speaking in tongue, and Holy Spirit understand God's will, and Holy Spirit will intercede for us according to God's will and according to our need. God knows our need, but Holy Spirit intercede for our need according to God's will. So the best way is to pray with the Holy Spirit. If we pray with understanding, after 10 minutes, do we have experience? We repeat the same thing, the words of understanding. But if we pray with the Holy Spirit, sometimes you can pray for 1 hour. Why? The movement of the Holy Spirit. We keep on interceding for this, for that, for that. You will keep on praying for different things. So Holy Spirit in the book of Romans chapter 5-8 had three important functions. The first function, pour down the love of God into us. The second function, give us power to set us free from the dominance of sinful nature. Root out the sinful nature. The third function is to intercede for us, so our weakness can be strengthened. And that the tool of sanctification. So the TJC member were the most powerful tool to live a sanctified life, which is the Holy Spirit. We have the most powerful tool for our justification, which is water baptism. We are very much blessed in TJC. Let's pray in silence. Amen.